You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Not panicking at all about the Blackhawks. Greg Carm, we're not panicking. It's not panic time.
Oh, it's never panic time.
No.
I mean, you have to, and by the way, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
but
thank you for being here.
Right now, since Blackhawks fans are, or some of them are panicking, I think we got to get right into it here, Patty. We have to realize as fans, panicking, it just doesn't do any good. I don't even really know what it means. I mean, what does that actually mean if you're a fan? Like, you're going to panic. Does that mean you run around your house and start screaming out? I mean, seriously.
Hold on a second. Keep talking.
No, Patty, back to the microphone. No. Wait. You have a radio show. Wait a minute. That's not. Okay. Nice Blackhawk shirt, by the way.
Is that all right?
Don't panic. Don't panic, Blackhawks fans. I mean, it's kind of. One of those crazy things that just...
I did not have the right bra on for running around the studio in a panic. I apologize.
I enjoyed your Facebook post recently about your mom and your bra, which was I thought very enlightening.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
My pronounced bra?
Yes. That was... well, your mom's looking out for you, even, you know, as you have crossed over the age of 21. So God bless mom.
I'm tempted to divert for a second because I am, and this is such a weird place that I don't mean to. Well, you know, we'll hijack Carm after this segment, after we talk about the Blackhawks, because I heard Coach Q's press conference. And if you're going to have a coach in a position when he's trying to calm the fans and he's talking to his players and trying to inspire them, you want Coach Q. But you could really hear like the sort of hours of screaming. Coming through, even the way he was breathing, I could almost see his mustache sort of ruffling with each breath. But I wasn't watching; I was just listening, but I could hear the sort of, you know, quiet, controlled passion that he has. But I wonder how much yelling do you think there was in the locker room?
It's interesting that because to hear Q talk about things like confidence. And that's kind of shocking to me. Like, you're talking about, you know, a team that's trying to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, right? They're fourth in 7 years. If they lost 10 games in a row, I wouldn't think that they would be, you know, even as far as having their confidence shaken, I think they would be fine. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, to answer your question, Patty, like, how much is he yelling at him? How much is he kind of, you know, letting it out to try to get their attention? Probably more than he normally does, but I wouldn't think that he's completely lighting them up because he knows the talent that he's got them. He knows the dedication. It's not like you don't really need to yell at Jonathan Toews. You just don't. I mean, you know, that guy came out of the womb and he was already folding his laundry properly. So I don't. Don't you think?
That's an image I'm not going to be able to shake for a while because there's a lot going on when you come out of the womb. But, it's hard to be tidy, but if you say so.
Yeah, I don't think one of his focuses right now is getting their attention. I mean, I think they pretty much always had the plus.
Yes,
they just had a very busy trade deadline where they got a lot of new players. So I think it's more that, putting all the pieces back together and, Corey Kluber's out too. I don't think you can put it all on that, but they are missing their number one goalie, so that's clearly been a part of it as well.
Now, okay, so I mean, it does get a little, I guess, hard to be consistent when you have a change in, you know, your main players. But we are deep into the season when there is that sort of risk of whether it's injuries or is there fatigue? I'm guessing there's fatigue this late in the season.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, 82-game season, they've been playing a ton of hockey, you know, the last couple of years. So, they're not going to say it, but I think to a man probably in there, at least if you talk to him, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you guys ready for the playoffs? Yes, let's go.
Right.
I mean, you're really grinding through it right now. They're not going to use that as an excuse. I mean, everybody's got to play the season, right?
Yeah. Well, how much do you put on not having Corey Crawford right now, too? Like, how much of it goes? I know that he didn't really play well 3 games in a row before he went down, but, you know, now they've lost 3 more out of 4, and he hasn't obviously played in any of those games.
How about 61%? What do you think of that?
Perfect. I wrote it down.
I mean, it's so hard to quantify, right, Craig? I mean, how much does it? Well, what's the impact on that? And listen, come playoff time, you want Corey Crawford around. Despite, you go back in time, if you remember Blackhawks, and even, you know, last year there was, you know, he started off the playoffs and Crawford was benched for Scott Darling. And I remember some guy that's talking on the radio, and I'm talking about me, who was wondering whether they should stick with Darling the rest of the way. And then just the way it just somehow miraculously fell, Crawford came in right when Darling was struggling and didn't sit the rest of the playoffs. So you need him when the money's on the line.
Right.
I don't think you necessarily need him right now. It looks like, you know, this road trip coming up, he might not even travel, so that's four more games.
Oh, man. How many games do we have left in the season?
Oh, it's off the top of my head.
I didn't mean to quiz you like that. It's not that many.
Craig's an expert. He can add it up better than I can right now, but it's getting down to it here. I mean, listen, playoffs start next month.
But we're pretty much locked into the playoffs. It's whether or not, I mean, you don't want to go in sort of limping either.
I think there might only be 8 games left.
Oh, wow.
So it's down to 8 now, my bad.
Because there's something to having momentum. Don't you think?
Yeah, but that changes real fast.
That's true. With these guys, I mean, they come in hard. And they, yeah. I don't know.
I did not laugh at that. I did not.
There are times that you just want to send stuff to Dan Chagrou yourself,
don't you? Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, and a minute ago, Mark Harmon said, I loved your Facebook posts about your mom and your bra. So I enjoyed that.
Exactly.
Out of context quote as well.
Sometimes it's just in context. That's the problem. That's why we can't get on that show as much. How can you put us on the show when on Nick D's show when we're always in context? It's not even veiled, especially when we comment on it. It sort of ruins the whole thing.
I mean, honestly, how many people in this world would relay a conversation they have about their mom and their boob on Facebook?
You missed the post I think I did last year, because we share the same washer and dryer in the basement and the clothesline. So I went down to grab some stuff off the line, and it wasn't until I was in my room and getting dressed I realized I was wearing my mother's bra. And that's a moment you can't ever shake. There's no wire brushes enough that can make you feel better about that. Yep, I was wearing my mother, because I was like, this is a little snug. Yeah. So
we can take a break, Patty.
More after this with Mark Carman. Do you mind hanging out, Carm?
I'm here.
I'm going to go change my bra right now after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Esmeralda Leon up in traffic, Craig Collins running the show, taking your phone calls and your texts. Sometimes his eyes bleed from the sheer volume and tone of what some people have to say. And Mark Carman, who I'm sure always is just dripping with love from listeners and fans. Right, Carm?
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome. I'm dripping this. You're right. It is me. It's not even, I can say anything and it just sounds tawdry, doesn't it? Craig, I can see you nodding, Craig.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's just glass here. Yeah. Forgot about that.
There was a lot of words there that just resonated with me in a way that just, I felt the best thing to do was to laugh. Thank you.
You're bathing in my words. Hey, Carm, last Tuesday night, I was just actually listening to the broadcast today because my husband is catching up on my podcasts. And we, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, were pretty much the first talk show to start discussing Adam LaRoche and his son.
I was actually thinking about that. I'm like, we were right on top of that one, weren't we?
You were. You were the one that brought it up. You were discussing, you know, how his performance last year, that it was kind of atrocious, and this seemed like a blessing in disguise for the White Sox organization to not be spending $13 million on him. And the next thing you know, they're all the not just talk show radio hosts were talking about it, but on television there were open letters, whether or not Kenny Williams is a horrible general manager. All those things were just sort of blew up, didn't they? Hello? Did he hang up on me? Kenny Williams is the general manager.
He's out.
Kenny Williams is the general manager of the White Sox.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why Mark is just bouncing.
Wow.
You know, I should probably call him.
Maybe he's a Trump supporter and decided.
How dare you?
Mark Carman.
Just bailed and just said,
he does know the phone number. Should I call him or should wait for him to call?
He must know the number, at least the 312-981-7. Everyone call and block Carm's ability to get back on the air. 312-981-7200, Carm. Just saying, that's the number. He probably think, is he still talking to us? Have you ever had that moment where you're just like talking and you have to call a person back and go, what was the last thing you heard? What was I saying?
My mom says that happens a lot.
Does she?
That I just leave her talking to herself.
Purpose.
Like, sorry.
I don't know if I've told you recently, Esmeralda, if I really need to get out of a conversation with somebody and I'm just done, rather than hanging up on them, so it seems like I'm angry, I keep talking and I just hang up in the middle of something I'm saying. So that way, why would I hang up while I'm talking? That seems ridiculous.
Did they call you back?
No, I just say, oh, what?
That is such a good idea.
Have I not told you that before?
No, I need to do that.
Yeah, you just start talking and you hang up on yourself.
Because, right, hanging up while they're talking is obvious, but hanging up while you're talking,
Yeah, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, but don't they call back and like, oh, I think we lost
it
the connection.
It goes to voicemail. You just turn your ringer off.
Oh, I
off.
See.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
This is a whole elaborate kind of thing. I like all this.
And now I feel bad. Like, if you're ever talking to me and we just cut out while I'm talking, be like, Patty just full-on hung up on me. I should not give away my secrets to people. Carm, are you there?
I am. I was making a great point.
We heard every word of it.
All of a sudden, my phone was ringing. I apologize.
Oh, he was talking. I told you he was talking the whole time. I'm sorry.
I was. I absolutely was. And it was like the five. I almost like leaped off my couch. What? Oh, hi.
Hi.
So listen, I don't know where you guys lost me, but I was just
all of it. I was talking, and then we lost you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, you know, Kenny Williams, the White Sox executive vice president, he's not a real popular guy with White Sox fans, despite, you know, being there when the Sox won the World Series in 2005. But he got real popular this week because it's just hard and near impossible, I think, to make a case that Adam LaRoche was right. I mean, the guy's it's just a bizarre story with him saying stuff like, you know, we're just not that into school. Who, like, name a professional athlete who's ever said anything like that. I'm going to take my kid out of school and he's just going to hang with me and we're going to get him his own locker in the clubhouse. I mean, it's just crazy. So clearly they could have communicated better a lot earlier and they bent over backwards for this guy, but in a lot of the conversation, Patty turned into, well, if he had hit 300 or 30 home runs, this wouldn't be it. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you do incredibly well, you get things that others don't. He didn't. So it your performance does matter. That's how the world works.
Yeah, the conversation did move away from what the business of baseball actually is. Although even talking about bringing your kid to the locker room is not the business of baseball. And I understand that he's always done this. It became about parenting styles and all these other things. It's supposed to be about the performance of the player. But they had a contract with him. So as far as the business of baseball, it seems like a clever way to solve this problem.
Yeah, and okay. And then like the other part of it is like people are saying, well, you know, look, he's made a lot of money, so he's allowed to make this decision. And that's true when he has, but he's made $71 million in his career, which is a ton of dough. I get that. And you don't need to work, and you know, if you have a tenth of a brain in your head. However, $13 million of $71 million is nearly 20%. And you can, and I know that you can live your own life and all that type of stuff. But like, listen, man, you can make 20% of what you've made in your entire life by just working another 6 months, and you can put that money to a million different good causes that are important to you. I mean, who really walks away from that just so his son can be around him for the summertime? I mean, that's crazy to me. Aside from putting his son in the middle of the story, and I mean, maybe he had no idea that it was going to get this much attention, but like, that's not a, you know, hey, son, we can no longer go to the ballpark. I'm retiring. It's just a bizarre choice to me on so many levels.
Right, and we could speculate all the different reasons that someone would make that personal choice regardless of, you know, the parenting decision. But, you know, to not have to go through it, you know, to not put in the performance. But then again, like, anything could happen in baseball. This could have been his season. You know, I mean, he was there. He had the option. He had the opportunity. What kind of a baseball? I mean, can you imagine, Craig? You and I grew up, I think we all grew up loving some sport, playing it, getting to the point where you get to do that professionally.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't speak for what it's like to go through all that, the what you sacrifice, but I mean, like, to do it professionally and get... Well, I'm sorry, go ahead, Carm.
No, I'm sorry. I just cut you off, Eddie, but I just wanted to throw in there. It's like, he's also retiring right before the season starts. He's not just letting himself, but he's letting down his teammates, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's that part of it as well.
So, and that was something I wasn't familiar with. They said he was a team leader. Is that accurate?
I don't know about team leader, but like incredibly well respected, and not just with the White Sox. I mean, this guy's been on six teams throughout his career, most recently with the Nationals. I mean, he's a very, very much, you know, well, highly thought of guy throughout baseball. And it's on some level, it feels wrong to, you know, tear him down. I mean, people are allowed to make their own decisions in life, but he was the guy that, you know, he had a lot of respect from a lot of people.
Well, I don't mean to play devil's advocate too much, but the one thing I do think about a little bit is how often these professional athletes are away from home, away from their families. It must be difficult to deal with, and it was a little bit nice to hear that this is someone who really didn't do that, that he kept his son around as much as possible, but in doing so, maybe he made other people uncomfortable, or the organization uncomfortable, but it is nice that there is a professional athlete out there that did everything he could to, you know, keep his family stuff going.
How much time was that kid there?
All the time.
See, it's kind of weird.
From what I've read, he was there, you know, 160 game season. He was there around 120 games.
I can understand wanting to see your children, but really? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't he interfere a bit into, you know, you're having to practice, you're having to watch your kid?
Right. Well, I mean, I hate putting it this way, but if one person gets to do it, who, you know, why can't everybody bring their kid to the locker room? And why does just his son get to go and not his daughter? I mean, that's for obvious reasons, but you still are kind of sharing your child around a bunch of naked men seems strange to me. I don't know, am I wrong about that one? I know that they would see that at the YMCA, but I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to bring your daughter, that, plus all the cussing, but that would be the same for your boy.
We need to take a break.
More after this on 720 WEN. What station are we at? More after this on WGN.